All right, turning your Bibles tonight, please, to Psalm 146. I'm deviating from our study tonight due to lack of concentration. And we will return when we are Narantan free. Please ignore anything ridiculous, goofy, silly, sarcastic, and just get what you can get here tonight. I timed those things on Sunday, and I forgot today, and I didn't time them. And so, hold on. All right, verse 1. I want you to look at this passage of Scripture, and I want to focus tonight on the subject of being happy. Being happy. How many of you want to be happy all the time? Raise your hand. All right, forget it. It's not going to happen. Doesn't keep you from wanting to be, though, does it? But forget it. It's just not going to happen. Let's look at verse 1. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish." Verse 5, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." What a great verse. Isn't that a great verse? All right, let's pray. Father, I ask you to help me tonight. I pray you will enable me to communicate the message that's before us. Lord, give us understanding of this truth. May the Holy Spirit lead and guide. And Father, may you help us tonight, all of us, to understand this matter of happiness. There's so much talk today about the subject, and Lord, help us to realize where it comes from and what it is. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us all a serious heart's desire to want to have that joy and to have that peace and have that happiness that can come through a right relationship with you. So Lord, bless us now, and we'll give you praise and glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. And I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of happiness. If ever there was a misunderstood concept, it is in this area, in the area of happiness. For instance, what would make one person happy would not make someone else happy. All right, now if you came up to me after church tonight and you said, "Pastor, I have something for you here. Here is an airline ticket for you and three of your friends, and we're sending you out to California to play Pebble Beach for a week. And then you play golf at Pebble Beach for a week. It's an all expense paid trip, and then we'll fly you back home." Now, that would make me very, very happy. All right? But it would not make most of you happy. Some of you, I said Pebble Beach, and you just said, "You going to the ocean?" No, it's a golf course. It costs about $350 per person per round to play, and it's very difficult to get on. You wouldn't think it would be, but there's a lot of idiots that will pay $350 to play 18 holes of golf. And so that would make me happy, but it probably wouldn't make most of you happy. Some person thinks, "Well, you know, if I only had money, I'd be happy. If I just had money, I'd be happy." So he gets money, he gets all he could ever want, he finds out that he's still not happy. You see, most people want happiness. I mean, I don't know of anybody that doesn't want happiness. And that's reflected in our society today. people are going to counselors and psychiatrists, and they're going to doctors, and they're going to therapists and counselors and gurus and health clubs and vacation spas looking for happiness, trying to find happiness that just always seems to elude them. They just can't seem to find it in spite of all of their efforts to do just that. And the simple truth of the matter is that most of our ideas of happiness many times conflict with the real idea of happiness. I mean, let's go to the Word of God, right? I think that'd be the easiest thing to do. I could ramble on and on in my introduction, but let me just take you to the Word. Where do you find happiness? Well, there are only two options for finding happiness. The first option I'm going to present to you is not one I would recommend, but the first area that people go to find happiness is the world. They go to the world looking for happiness. And the world has a lot to offer. I want you to turn in your Bible real quick. Just hold your place here. Turn in your Bible real quick to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Real quickly. I've already got it. I win. I already got the prize, didn't I? That's a nice picture. Hebrews 11. Look, please, at verse 25. He's talking here about Moses and said that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures. Do you see that? Enjoy the pleasures of what? Sin for a season. Now, many people go to the world and they look for happiness. And God tells us here in this verse of Scripture that there is pleasure in sin. But it's only for a season. You see, it does not last. And all you have to do is just look at a drunkard to see that the pleasures of sin do not last. All you've got to do is look at a drug addict to see that the pleasures of sin are only for a season. And when after a while that drunk or that drug addict has lost their job, lost their spouse, lost their income, lost every dime they have, lost their credit rating, lost their children, when they have lost everything that they have, you cannot look at them and say, man, they are really enjoying life. No, the pleasures of sin are just for a season. And the world has a great deal to offer, but I want you to know the world has no lasting solutions in the area of happiness. There is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. There are people that try alcohol. Man, I tell you, you remember those days when you were unsaved. I hope you were unsaved. And you were a teenager. And, you know, everybody said, oh, come on, man, everybody's doing it. First of all, that's a lie that came right out of hell. Not everybody's doing it. I could take you across the hall over there and show you a whole bunch of teenagers that are not drinking and not doing drugs and all the rest. But you remember those days, and you remember the quote-unquote fun that you had, but then you woke up the next morning, you scratched your head way out here. I mean, your head felt like it was going to blow off, and you got so sick and all that. There's pleasure in sin, but it doesn't last. It just doesn't last. And then you get to the place where you think you can hold your liquor, and so there you are, boy, you're just having the time of your life, and then all of a sudden one day you realize you can't do without it. It's got its ugly old hooks in your flesh, and it's got a hold of you. You try to pull free, it pulls you right back. And you realize you're caught and you're in trouble and you don't know what to do. And so what do? You run to find more alcohol because that's what makes you happy. But you don't realize that in the process, you are destroying yourself. The world doesn't have anything to offer, folks. When the effects wear off, you're in trouble because you just have to have more. And the more you get, the worse physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually you get. Socially, the worse you get. A lot of folks think that alcohol is a good thing. Let me tell you how alcohol works. It has a triple effect. Now, first of all, it stimulates, and that's where you have the fun. Then secondly, it negates. And then thirdly, it depresses. Alcohol is like a depressive drug. It causes, after the alcohol wears off, you go up, it brings you down, and after it brings you down, then it takes you way down because it works as a depressive. But when the party's over, then there is the remaining effects and the remaining factor of guilt that's involved. People try drugs, pornography, gambling, power, money, education, all the things that the world has to offer. And they try these things in order to find happiness. But then when the party is over, there is the remaining factor of guilt that leaves you even more empty and more hollow than before. Because you see, you tried what the world had to offer, thinking that this was what was going to make me happy. And then when you got everything, you know, every time I hear that commercial on TV about grabbing the gusto, you know, a beer advertisement, grabbing the gusto. Oh, come on. You grab all the gusto you want, you're still going to be hollow at the end of the day because it cannot give you what you're looking for. It just cannot do it. The world does not have the capacity to give you a lasting happiness. Now, here's how it works. Let me give you the cycle of sin. I've given you this before in several different sermons, but a lot of new folks, I want to give it to you again. You might want to write this down in the fly leaf of your Bible and just read it and think about it and study it and pray over it, because this is how sin works. First, sin always starts with a suggestion. Always. Sin always starts with a suggestion. Underneath that, write, suggestion becomes a desire. Are you with me? All right, what was number one? Sin always starts with a suggestion. Underneath that, suggestion becomes a desire. Underneath that, desire becomes an intent. Desire becomes an intent. Underneath that, intent becomes an act. Underneath that, an act becomes a memory. And underneath that, a memory becomes a suggestion. Look at your first line. Look at your first line. Your first line, sin always starts with a suggestion. And your last line, a memory becomes another suggestion. So folks, this is why sin just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's why it becomes easier after the first sin to commit the second sin and then commit the third sin until you get out here covered over in sin up to your nose where you're barely breathing, and you turn around and you go, whoa, I thought I was trying to find happiness. How did I get here? And then you start crying out for somebody to help you. You've dug yourself deep. Why? Because this cycle works on the matter of sin every time. Sin always starts with a suggestion. Suggestion becomes a desire. Desire becomes an intent. An intent becomes an act. An act becomes a memory. And a memory becomes another suggestion. And folks, I'm saying the world has no solutions. But wait a minute, there is a second place, a second source where you can go to find happiness. and that is God. You can go to the Lord. You know, the amazing fact is this. God has the solutions for all of our problems. For everything. For all the problems that the world carries with it. All the problems of the Christian life. I mean, the amazing thing is that God has arranged things so that He is the solution to all of our problems. Does not Philippians 4:19 teach us that? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Folks, I'm saying God is the solution. He not only has the solution, God is the solution. He is the solution. Now, where do we find happiness? Well, true happiness, now listen very carefully to this, true happiness can only be found in a proper relationship with God. Look at your Bible. Look at Psalm 146, verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Now that verse of Scripture tells us that our happiness is found in a right relationship with God. Hold your place here in the Psalms, and go over to Proverbs 16, just the next book over, Proverbs 16 and verse 20. The Bible here says, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." So there it is again. Where do you find happiness? You find it in a right relationship with God. Look at Proverbs 29. Just go over a couple more chapters to the 29th chapter. Look at verse 18. Familiar verse of Scripture. I've preached from this verse a couple of times. Where there is no vision, the people perish, verse 18. But he that keepeth the law, what is it? Happy is he. What's the law, folks? What's the law? You've got it in your lap. I'm saying that the Scriptures amplify this thought over and over and over. We find happiness in a proper relationship with God. Now, folks, listen carefully. Now, listen to this. Our overriding goal should not be to seek happiness, but to keep our hearts right with God. That's what these verses are saying. These verses are not talking about you striving to have happiness. These verses are saying that happiness is a byproduct of you striving to keep a right relationship to God. If we would not have happiness as our goal and say, you know, I'm going to strive to be happy. No, you strive to be right with God. Make your relationship with the Lord the thing that's most important. I am never going to be happy if I am just all consumed with being happy. That's self-centeredness. That's me being self-centered, and it is a deceptive idea. What I need to do is reject the idea of being happy and adopt the idea of being godly. You see that? I tell you, you know, these guys write 42 ways to be happy. All baloney. There's one way to be happy. And it's to be rightly related to God and His Word. There's one way. And you hear all this stuff, you know, the power of positive thinking. Well, I think you ought to be positive. I don't think you ought to go around negative all the time. But my soul, folks, you know, a lot of that stuff is, it's just a bunch of junk. It doesn't last. This will last. If you are daily in the Word, if you are daily praying, if you are daily seeking to know God and to have a relationship with Him through His Son, there's where you're going to find your happiness. Let me say it this way. Personal happiness must be seen as the byproduct, not the goal. The goal ought to be to know God. To learn to trust in Him. The goal of happiness is is forever elusive, regardless of one's strategy. But the byproduct of happiness is wonderfully available to those whose goal is to please God at every moment. Now, a few moments ago when I first started, I asked you, how many of you want to be happy all the time? And all of you smiled real big and your faces lit up and you threw your hand up in the air. And I told you, forget it, it's impossible. And it is. To be happy all the time. You can't do that, folks. The simple truth is, we live in a world of sin, guilt, despair, death, disease. I mean, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. The world is looking for some euphoric age where men can just be happy all the time, and we've got institutes that are striving just to find that formula. We've got counseling centers striving just to find that formula, but it will never happen in this world. There is no such thing in this world. Can you imagine going to the funeral home to pay respects of someone that you love and you spent your life with? I mean, your wife dies, or girls, your husband dies, and you have spent all of your life with this person, and you go to the funeral home and you walk in and you look at your loved one lying in the casket, and the folks come by and they say, how you doing? And you say, oh man, I'm wonderful, praise the Lord, I'm just wonderful. No, you're going to be hurting on the inside. You may say, praise the Lord. You may say, thank God, you know, my loved one doesn't have to suffer anymore. But let's be honest, your heart's broken. You're not going to be happy all the time. I mean, my goodness, let's suppose you're in Carroll County Hospital over here, and the phone rings, and we come, one of us comes over to the hospital to see you. We walk in the room just about the time the doctor's walking out. And we walk into the room. And you found out, the doctor just told you, you've got cancer and you've got 3 months to live. Well, we're not going to be, you know, jumping up and down for joy. We're going to be brokenhearted. We're going to be hurting. We're going to be sad. There's going to be tears in the room. You're going to be looking at me and saying, Pastor, pray, ask God to do something. You're not going to be sitting there and go, whoopee, I got cancer. Hot dog, I got 3 months to live. No. I'm simply saying, the truth is, we're not always going to experience happiness every day of our lives. Now, Satan would have you believe that you can be happy and you should be happy all the time. But that's not God. That's not God. The devil come along and try to tell you, you ought to be happy all the time. And then when you're not, he comes and bombards you and says, see, you're not much of a Christian. You're not much. You're supposed to be happy. Well, you're not much of a Christian. You're supposed to be happy regardless of what's going on. Folks, the truth is, the more you seek happiness, the harder it is to find. Happiness can only be found as a byproduct of you being right with God. Now, let's suppose we go to the hospital room, or let's suppose we go to the funeral home. That's not a happy time. But in the days and weeks and months to follow, you can go to the Word and you can find the comfort that you need. You can find God will be by your side. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can find Jesus, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And when, even in dire times, even in times where the news is the worst, even in times where you get that bad report, you can still find happiness in the Lord. When you're in the Word, and when you're in prayer, and when you're trusting in Him. So happiness can only be found as a byproduct of being in fellowship with God. Now, that leads me to the last thing I want to say. I want you to understand this principle now, folks. Get this. I want to speak to you for a moment on the goal of every believer. What should be the goal of every person in this room tonight? The goal of every believer. Every believer has a twofold function. Number one, to offer the sacrifice of worship to God. And number two, to offer the sacrifice of service to others. That's the goal of every believer. Now, wait a minute. I said that happiness was not to be our goal, but godliness, Christ-likeness. Who best lived his life performing this twofold function? Function number one, to offer the sacrifice of worship to God. Number two, to offer the sacrifice of service to others. Who best lived his life performing this twofold function? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. If I want to please God, listen to me now. If I want to please God at every moment, I must be centrally occupied with worship and service. If I want to please God, I've got to have these two things at the forefront of my life. Not the world. There's just way too many Christians that have the things of the world at the forefront and not worship and not service. And then they wonder why they're not happy. They wonder why they have to go and get help. They got to go and talk to the shrink. I've just got to talk to somebody. Why don't you talk to God? Why don't you get in the Word and let God talk to you? There's what the Bible, right there's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. And if I want to please God at every moment, these two things have to be in my life. And once I am starting to become Christ-like, and that is my goal, all of a sudden, happiness is the byproduct. Folks, think about it. I'm not trying to be unkind here. I'm not trying to put the pressure on you. I'm not trying to offend you. Please, 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 I'm trying to get you to think. Remember when you first got saved, when you first got baptized, when you first joined the church. Remember when you signed up for the Soul Winners Club, or back in the day you signed up for Operation Go, and you went through the soul winning program, and you were on fire for God, you were all pumped, you were all excited, you came to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you went out on Thursday night visitation, and man, the joy of the Lord was just beaming from your face. And now you don't do that. You see, worship and service. A lot of folks say, well, no, I'm in church, I worship. Okay, but what about your service? You see, these two things go together. They go together. To offer the sacrifice of worship to God and to offer the sacrifice of service to others. And folks, I hope you see that we are at the very heart of Christian living. You say, well, I hear this, oh my soul, in the last 10 years. And I've talked to other preachers and I said, listen, do you remember this when, 15 years ago? No, I don't remember this 15. I said, I don't either. But boy, you sure do hear today. Pastor, we're just not happy. We're going to go find us another church. And then, here they go, find another church. And then you hear that they went to this church and they didn't like it. So they went to that church and they didn't like it. So they went over here to this church and they didn't like it. So they went back over to this church where they went the first time, but they still didn't like it. But they heard that they were going to throw that pastor out. So they thought, well, we'll just go here for the... And then they went to another one, and then they went to another. And finally one day they simply said, what's the use? Or here's another scenario. Somebody offended you. You know? I mean, somebody came in one Sunday night and sat in your seat. And you got upset. Somebody didn't shake your hand when you thought they should. Somebody made a decision that impacted some area of your life. And you said, Boy, I tell you, that church is just going downhill. I tell you, that church. But I'm still reading my Bible. I'm reading my Bible. Folks, that's why just reading your Bible is not enough. You got to... Listen, worship to God, that's good. That's first. But sacrifice of serving others, that's in there too. And who best exemplified that? Jesus. So when I'm becoming like Jesus, I'm going to be happy. And you look back on it, dear friend, when you were here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night visitation, or Saturday morning bus visitation, or you were back there working with those children, or when you were serving in some area, that's when you were happy. And now you sit here, that old preacher, doggone that old preacher. Oh, he gets on my nerves. I tell you, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, same old stuff. Live for God. Read your Bible. Get in the Word. And it gets on your nerves after a while when you're not doing it. When you're doing it, you can say, amen! I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't be talking at you like this. But you see what I'm saying, folks? I mean, you're going to find your happiness being like Jesus. That's what it boils down to. And the reason so many Christians are not happy and are depressed and are tired. Oh, you know, hey, don't. Oh, I'm so tired. Teenagers. How you doing? I'm tired. You're a teenager, for Pete's sake. Why are you tired? Did you not go to bed last night? Yeah, I went to bed last night. But I'm tired. Oh, my soul. That's why so many Christians are not happy, and they're tired, and they're depressed, and they're discouraged, and they're apathetic. It's because there is no daily striving to be like Jesus. Folks, we should study and read the Word every day. That's function number one. But we should be in church 3 times a week. That's function number one. We should do these things because they make us more like Christ. But then we should be loving, we should be kind, we should be caring, we should be compassionate, we should be forgiving, we should be thoughtful, we should be gracious, we should be meek, we should be humble towards other people. And that's function number two. Not gossipy. Not mad. Not hateful. Not full of spite. Not angry. Those are the things that you pick up when you're out there in the world. So I just can't help it. That's just the way I am. I know, and we have an altar up here for folks just like you. You can come up here and get on your knees and confess that stuff, and God will forgive you of that. Then you get in the Word and you become more like Jesus. Do you think Jesus would have said, hey guys, you know what I just heard? Do you think the Lord Jesus would say, would be hateful to somebody? Do you think He would be spiteful to somebody? Do you think the Lord Jesus would say, guys, we got to get back at that Caiaphas? I remind you, the Lord Jesus could have just said, you got leprosy. And He would have been eaten up with leprosy. But He wouldn't have done that. He came to serve. He came to minister to others. And folks, listen, that's my job. But wait a minute. That's your job too. There's not two sets of standards, one for the preacher and one for the sheep. You know, one for the shepherd and one for the sheep. There's not two sets of standards. What is good for the goose is good for the ganders. It's just that simple. It's time to go, and I'm not done. I don't ever get done. She said, man, I wish I was happy. Well, forget it. You're striving for the wrong goal, and you'll never reach that goal if that's what you're striving for. What you ought to be saying is, man, I want to be like Jesus. And there's only two ways to be like Jesus. First, I'm going to get in my Bible. And I'm going to get in my church. Okay, there's three ways. I'm going to get in my Bible. I'm going to get in my church. And I'm going to serve others. Because that's what Jesus did. That's what it means to be like Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, would you speak to our hearts tonight? Help us. Help us to understand this truth. Lord, we just need to be like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song. Lord, help us to just have that as the theme song of our hearts. That we want to be faithful. We want to know the Word. We want to learn the Word of God as we read it and as we come to church and hear it taught and preached. Lord, we want to just be like Jesus. But Lord, also as we serve, give us that burdened heart. Lord, I pray that as we do these things, you will bless, and Lord, surely happiness will be the byproduct. Back to our verse of Scripture, happy is he who has the Lord as his God. Father, just give us that burdened heart tonight. I pray that all over this room you'll speak to hearts and minister to our needs. In Jesus' name, amen.